Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us today. Well, we're talking leadership today with some of the top Christian leaders. Up next, Eugene Cho, pastor of Seattle's Quest Church and author of the book Overrated. He was in town for the Fuel Leadership Conference, and we talked about how leadership can navigate through this changing culture.
One of the things that you mentioned is that culture is rapidly changing.
Yeah.
So you're talking to leaders or people want to lead. How do you help them navigate through this changing culture and still lead?
You know, I think I would begin by just acknowledging it, just to name it. I'm 46 years old. I just sent off my eldest to college. I always imagined that in my mid-40s, by the time I got there, I would feel so secure, so grounded, that I would be in my sweet spot. And I think in some ways I feel that way, but if I'm honest, I feel like I'm lost. I feel more afraid. And I just never imagined that as a 46-year-old leader, a pastor who's been at the same church for 15-plus years, that I would see myself being more insecure and more afraid than ever before. And I think part of it is because there's just so much shifting and changing in our culture. So I think just naming it, I think it's good. There's a level of vulnerability in saying, I feel insecure, I feel scared. But also, I think to also acknowledge that just because things are shifting quickly doesn't necessarily mean that we have to operate or live on that same pace. We live in a microwave culture. We live in a fast food culture. We live in a culture where we feel like we need to upgrade our phones every season, every 2 years at the least. And so I feel this pressure constantly that even though things are shifting, that there's a demand for an answer from me. And I think that's where we can acknowledge things are changing. But I think part of wisdom is to say it's okay for me not to respond at that same pace to the things around me. That it's being faithful to say, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to wrestle with this. And at the same time, the midst of all it is to be reminded who you are, who you serve, and what you're about. Those are the three things. Oftentimes, we're so attached, so enamored by the question, what do we do? That's the question I always get from people. It's the question that I wrestle with. What do we do in response to this? And so oftentimes, we just jump hurdles to get to that point. And so I'm encouraging people to pause for a little bit. Who are you? Who do you serve? Ultimately, who's your Lord of your life? And then what are you about? What are the convictions? What are the kingdom values that you're about? What's the ethic? You know, our ethic of life, of love, of service, as Christians, the ethic of the kingdom of God. And I think those things will help shape the answer to what should we do. It might not be at the satisfaction in terms of pace that people are wanting, but I find myself making a lot of mistakes because I'm so eager to satisfy people's, not just what they want in terms of what they want to hear, but the pace of how they want to receive those answers.
Well, and you're a pastor of a church, and so I even see that happening with churchgoers leaving, saying, well, I learned a lot about the Word of God, but I didn't get any action items. So how do you balance that of internalizing who God is and who you are because of Him, and then what we should be doing?
Well, I mean, I think that question about the doing part is absolutely critical to our identity as disciples. We're not meant to just aggregate information, absorb information. If anything, we live in a culture where there's just too much information. It's too much. We have more data on our phones, for example, than people learned in their entire lifetime not that long ago. So I do believe that teaching and information is important, but as you just noted in the question, how do we help people take a step? And I think that's part of good teaching. I might not be able to give people the precise, specific answer to their question. We have a church of 1,000-plus people, multi-ethnic, multi-generational, context. And so for me to assume that I know everything that's going on is ridiculous. But I think it's that question is to encourage people to take an action, to ask yourself, how is God spurring me on? so that worship doesn't end when we exit those doors, but it actually continues. If the gospel, the good news, isn't impacting our marriages, our singlehood, our relationships, our neighborhood, how we interact with our enemies, how we interact in our workplaces, in our schools, then there's something missing and lacking about that gospel. We often say, at least in our church, we tell people the gospel changes everything. And I think it's true. I really believe it. And so rather than telling people this is the step, I think the charge and the encouragement, the exhortation I want to give people is you have to do that work. That's part of our homework, if you will, as disciples, is how is this going to impact my life?
Well, and you said that one of the things you're encouraging all Christians to do right now in this very polarized culture that we're living in is to start listening. Can you talk more about that and maybe how we can take that step? Because I know a lot of people feel like they're afraid to voice an opinion or to be heard. But you said maybe to start with listening.
Yeah. Well, I just cannot emphasize enough how important this is. You know, if we're examining the life of Jesus, and that's a good person to examine, to scrutinize, to learn from, and it's amazing because the bulk of his ministry was spent outside the synagogue. Now, we know he spends time in the synagogue. And so I think for us as Christians, I love Sundays. I love our small groups. It's powerful. It's beautiful. We believe the Holy Spirit's at work. We just have to tell people that church is not an event. It's not a building. It's not something that you go to for about 90 minutes to consume something. It has its importance and value. So how does this impact so that our Christian life is not compartmentalized? And so how is it holistic throughout? And so when I look at Jesus' life, I just love that the whole of his life was a reflection of his worship of God. And I love the fact that much of his ministry was actually around meals, around the table, around people's living rooms, sitting on the floor, speaking, but also listening as well. And you know, there's many things that Jesus does that's quite impressive. His miracles, I mean, his resume, his LinkedIn profile would be quite impressive. But to this day, when I read the Gospels, the thing that gets me, it just gives me goosebumps even now, is that no matter how busy, no matter how hurried or pursued as he was, he always stopped and looked at people in the eyes, so as to say that he valued every single person, even those that he may have disagreed with, even those who may not necessarily have agreed with him. He acknowledged their value and their dignity. And so when we're talking about a divisive and polarizing culture, we've already, if we're honest, probably have made up about 98% of our assessment of somebody else without even having broken bread or sharing stories with that person. So look at politics right now. Someone who voted for Hillary Clinton, somebody who voted for Donald Trump, we've already made so many assumptions. And I'm guilty of this as well. I have to pause and stop and say, God, help me to embody the very things that I'm trying to teach to my congregation. So I think listening is part of that. Listening opens the door for relationships and stories to be shared. It doesn't mean that our convictions may change, but I think it helps us to become more human. And it's interesting because I think to be a good disciple, part of it is really simple, is to become more human as God intended us to be. So listening, I'm all for it, and I want to practice it more in my own life.
That was pastor and author Eugene Cho. Up next, we hear from Jason Jagard, leadership coach and innovator for cultural change. That's coming up on Connecting Faith.